Hello, I'm Heidi Hallman, and I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Curriculum and Teaching at the University of Kansas. Today I'll be reading my manuscript entitled Investigating Curriculum, Pre-Service Teachers' Use of Video Records of Practice. Pre-service teachers' documentation of teaching through the use of video records of practice has become a standard component of many teacher education programs. Several scholars, including Lampert and Ball, have stressed that video records of practice, also referred to under the term general records of practice, can positively influence beginning teachers' development of teaching, including both increased reflections on one's practice as well as the promotion of new and innovative work with one's students. As new technologies continue to influence beginning teachers' processes of learning to teach, the use of VRPs has firmly claimed a space within new technologies as a way of promoting heightened visibility of the practice of teaching. Digital video, the newest form of video technology, has been called a lasting record, meaning that it can be collected, edited, and watched multiple times for a fine-grained analysis of teaching. Digital video is also what Miller recently coined a quintessential multimodal literacy, for it allows for possibilities of composing scenes through importing video into computer software and editing images and sounds. These new capabilities of VRPs further expand the possibilities for what beginning teachers are able to do with video documentation of their teaching. Video records of practice, in their broadest conception, include all types of video recordings, whether these are recorded digitally, on DVDs or mini-DVDs, or on VHS tapes. Though this broad definition of VRPs spans many manifestations of video itself, this article is interested in understanding how beginning teachers' use of any of these forms of video records of practice within teacher education programs fosters an understanding of curriculum and curricular choices within teachers' respective disciplinary fields. As the January-February 2009 Volume 60, Number 1 issue of Journal of Teacher Education emphasizes, new technologies have become increasingly prominent in teacher education programs and will continue to shape the preparation of beginning teachers. Therefore, understanding the impact that these technologies have on pre-service teachers' understanding of curriculum and pedagogy is important. Despite the prominence of new technologies, pre-service teachers' use of video records of practice has been primarily studied in relationship to teaching in the context of new times. The term New Times, as described by scholars in literacy studies, including G. Lancashire and Noble and Luke and Elkins, is used to characterize the changing social, economic, and technological conditions of our current era. Although undeniably important that new technologies be studied within the context of a current and changing world, it's also critical to study how these new technologies influence teachers' understanding of a disciplinary field's past. A past that has been shaped in part by the curricular models defining the field of English language arts education. To study how VRPs can have an impact on beginning teachers' understanding of curriculum, this article argues that VRPs offer pre-service English teachers not only a unique way to view their teaching practices, but a means by which to understand English language arts curriculum in action, thereby tracing a history of curriculum in this particular disciplinary field. The following two questions frame this article's inquiry. In what ways do pre-service English language arts teachers reflect on curriculum after viewing their teaching through video records of practice? How do their reflections reference curricular models in the field of English language arts education? When characterizing curricular choices within video records of practice, what knowledge of curriculum do pre-service English language arts teachers generate and draw upon? The field of English language arts education has been guided by three dominant models of curriculum since the 1960s: the skills model, focusing on the acquisition of correct grammar, vocabulary, and spelling; the cultural heritage model, focusing on the transmission of shared cultural knowledge; and the personal experience model, focusing on the use of students' experiences as springboards for school-based inquiry. These models, guided by disparate theoretical stances, have produced competing models of curriculum that are all viewed as viable pathways in characterizing the teaching of English language arts. Over the recent past two decades, conversations have ensued about the nature of curriculum in the field of English language arts education. A coalition of associations, including NCTE, Four Seas, MLA, and others met during the summer of 1987 to assert the importance of process in learning language and responding to literature. In the following two decades, scholars in the field of English language arts education, including Appleby, Marshall, and Bickmore, Smagorinsky, and O'Donnell Allen, have addressed ELA curricular models in their respective work and have argued for new conceptualizations when thinking about curriculum and the teaching of English language arts. Specifically, these scholars have cited that the models guiding the field have produced over time a nexus of theoretically competing curricular paradigms. Bickmore et al. Call this nexus a tension between traditions and emphasize the difficulty of beginning teachers' apprenticeship into such a model. Despite existing tensions, the models guiding curriculum in ELA have established approaches to curriculum that remain salient today. This history has greatly influenced the training of pre-service English teachers and methods classes in the subject of English language arts, for example, have generally continued to frame curriculum through these curricular models. Further, professional materials available to teachers of English continue to resonate with these models. However, little investigation has been conducted that aims to uncover ways to better assist beginning teachers with thinking through the implications of adopting particular curricular models within their teaching. The dilemma that Bickmore et al. Name the tension between traditions continues to shape beginning teachers' entrance into the field. Matters of curriculum in the teaching of English language arts, as in all disciplines, are inherently tied to matters of instruction. Appleby states that curriculum is what provides domains for conversation, and the conversations that take place within those domains are the primary means of teaching and learning. Curriculum and instruction, then, are always intertwined, and instruction at its core is driven by curricular theory. Therefore, teachers' instructional decisions are always undergirded by curricular theories and models. In subscribing to a conceptualization of curriculum that is in dialogue with instructional practices, acknowledgement of the tension between traditions is imperative in order to gain a sense of one's purpose in teaching. Though the three curricular models described, the skills model, the cultural heritage model, and the personal experience model, are often linked to various manifestations of teaching and learning. The cultural heritage model, for example, is often linked to core knowledge curricula. It is pre-service teachers' processes of learning to recognize and interrogate such curricular models that is the feature within the confines of this article. Studying pre-service English teachers' use of VRPs with respect to their understanding of curriculum, then, exhibits a method for beginning teachers to consider the link between curriculum and instruction in their own classrooms. As a result, beginning teachers of English are better able to deconstruct the tension between traditions that Bickmore et al. Discuss. Through the presentation of three cases of pre-service English teachers, this article illustrates that VRPs have the unique capability to capture the nuances of how curriculum is played out in the classroom. As a result, pre-service teachers are urged to more carefully examine the models of curriculum that appear within their teaching and review the implications of adopting such models in their own classrooms. The context of this research study, on which the article is based, is Green State University's Secondary English Language Arts Teacher Education Program. This program is housed within the state's flagship institution, a large research-oriented university in the Midwest United States. Green State University is located in a community of 80,000 people, yet is only 45 miles from Marshall City, a large metropolitan area of just over 2 million. The relative proximity of Marshall City to Green State University offers teacher education students the ability to attend the state's flagship institution, yet, if they wish, complete their student teaching experience in schools located in the state's largest metropolitan center. Green State's teacher education program includes an additional year beyond the undergraduate year to become a licensed teacher, and this additional year, often referred to as the professional year, or fifth year, is comprised of two distinct student teaching experiences and 15 credits of post-baccalaureate coursework. The first student teaching experience occurring in the fall semester of the professional year includes 8 weeks of student teaching. The second student teaching experience occurring in the spring semester of the same professional year includes 13 weeks of student teaching. 2009 marks the 100th year anniversary of Green State University School of Education. Though the professional year component of the elementary and secondary teacher education programs has existed since 1984, the program has been increasingly under pressure by state officials, university administration, parents, and community members to revise its professional year component, thus revising its current program. In the current context of teacher education reform, the School of Education at Green State has been encouraged to provide longitudinal data as a way of documenting the necessity of training teachers beyond the traditional four-year model. The Secondary English Language Arts Program at Green State University, a licensure area within the Secondary Education Program, is currently constituted through a two-year sequence of courses prior to this professional year that are designed to prompt pre-service teachers to understand the context of schooling in the United States, the relationships between schools, society, and families, knowledge about curriculum and pedagogy within the field of English language arts, and knowledge about oneself as a teacher. This article draws from that data that are part of a larger study investigating how pre-service English language arts teachers conceptualize curriculum in their pre-service teacher education training. 17 pre-service English language arts teachers participated in the larger study over the duration of one academic year. This article, however, specifically focuses on three participants from the larger study through a case study approach. Through case study, this article is able to attend to the interplay between video records of practice, pre-service teachers' considerations of curriculum, curricular models in the field of English language arts, and the larger context of the teacher education program at Green State University. Carmen Kelly, Hua Xiong, and Daniel Martin, all pre-service teachers in English language arts education at Green State University, were selected as cases for studying the use of VRPs in teacher education programs. These three beginning teachers were followed throughout their professional year and were selected as cases because they represent the spectrum of experiences pre-service English language arts teachers bring to Green State University's secondary teacher education program. Though all three are native to Green State, the three case study participants vary in terms of their demographic background. This is discussed in detail within the introduction to each case. To represent these three cases, data generation included the collection of artifacts, interviews, and video records of practice. The following artifacts were specifically used throughout the data analysis process in exploring these three pre-service teachers' use of VRPs. Artifacts related to the courses the students were enrolled in, syllabi, student teaching handbook, assignment guidelines, minimum of two video records of practice during each of the two semesters of student teaching, accompanied by students' written reflection of each videotaped lesson, audio-taped focus group interviews, and weekly reflections throughout both semesters of student teaching, open-ended journal format. As the researcher, I assumed an active role throughout the study as a participant observer, reading all participants' journal entries and watching videotaped records of their teaching. I also engaged in continuous conversation with participants' field supervisors throughout the pre-service teachers' student teaching experiences. The process of data analysis was both inductive and deductive. First, an inductive data analysis process was employed by reading all the weekly journal reflections written by the case study participants. After this, participants' written reflections that were responses to video records of practice were read and coded for themes pertaining to models of curriculum in the field of English language arts education. VRPs were also viewed alongside of reading participants' reflections, and the researcher created memos for each video record of practice that noted the content of the videotaped lesson. This process was recursive, and the researcher moved between coding the participants' written reflections of their video records of practice and creating memos while viewing the video records of practice. Following this recursive data analysis procedure, focus group interviews were conducted in small group format. Focus group participants also included participants involved in the larger study by the researcher. After conducting and audio recording these focus group interviews, interview transcripts were coded for themes. It's important to note that much of the data collected for analysis throughout this article can be considered as students' reflection on their own teaching practices. Current emphasis in teacher education programs throughout the United States on beginning teachers' use of reflective practice, therefore, has already established an imperative for students' evaluation of teaching practices through a reflective framework. However, there's been much confusion in educational context about what constitutes meaningful reflection. Fendler notes that over the past several decades, the area of teacher reflection, has grown to include scholarship dedicated to exploring facets of reflective practice. Scholarship on reflective practice can be thought of as fitting into categories such as how-to manuals explaining the steps for making teachers into reflective practitioners, descriptions concerning the ways in which teachers reflect on their practice, and meta-surveys of the ways that reflection is categorized. Clearly, the result of this body of work is broad-reaching and instructive. However, as evidenced in the literature outlined above, accounts of reflection and reflective practice with teachers have seldom aimed to connect inquiry about curriculum and curriculum theory to reflective practice. Therefore, this article initiates such a connection. The connections that students' reflections had to their video records of practice assisted the researcher in attending more fully to the question of how VRPs served as reflective tools about curriculum. Throughout the remainder of the article, the three cases are positioned as what Ellen calls telling cases, as they demonstrate different aspects of how pre-service English language arts teachers may use video records of practice to understand curriculum in the field of English language arts education. Three cases of pre-service English language arts teachers' use of video records of practice. Carmen Kelly, using video records of practice to question characterizations of traditional and contemporary curricular approaches to the teaching of English language arts. Carmen Kelly, a student in her early 20s and a native of the state in which Green State University was located, could be considered representative of the majority of Green State University's pre-service teachers in several ways. Carmen was white and well-prepared in her content area, English, and her plans for post-graduation from the teacher education program included residing within a one-hour driving proximity to both Green State University and Marshall City metropolitan area. She also intended to continue pursuing graduate coursework that would lead to the completion of her master's degree while beginning her first English teaching position the year following her professional year. When asked how long she might reside in the state, Carmen thought that she may only remain long enough to gain experience during her first years of teaching and would eventually pursue her career in another region of the U.S. As of June 2009, Carmen's intent was to teach middle or high school English, and she was at this time interviewing for available positions in the Marshall City metropolitan area. Carmen's first student teaching experience took place in an urban middle school, Parker Middle School, located in the heart of Marshall City. It was here at Parker Middle that Carmen experienced working with a diverse group of seventh graders, a significant portion of whom were classified as English language learners. Marshall City's urban district differed in demographics from the surrounding districts due to a significant minority student enrollment in English as a second language population, use curriculum built upon benchmarking, a method of aligning curricular objectives and tasks with what students would encounter on standardized tests. Benchmarks, as Carmen noted in one of her reflection papers, are very important to this district. Students' grades are based solely on their benchmarks, and they are not graded on anything else but mastery of the benchmarks. Over the course of her semester at Parker Middle School, Carmen videotaped herself for 5 days of teaching in a Read 180 class. Read 180 is a program based on what its publisher calls an intensive reading intervention program that helps educators confront the problem of adolescent illiteracy and special needs reading on multiple fronts using technology, print, and professional development. After watching each of these 5 days of teaching, she composed written reflections that discussed what she saw. One of Carmen's reflections questioned the split between what Carmen called traditional and contemporary curricular approaches to teaching language arts. Specifically, Carmen's reflection questioned whether using skills-based learning techniques with an ESL population was serving a purpose in the Read 180 class. Below is an excerpt from Carmen's journal entry. As I watched myself on video help students with the computer portion of Read 180 program, I thought, if this program is supposed to interest students, then it is going about it in the wrong way. For example, there was a reading about Kobe Bryant from the Lakers that was somewhat interesting, but then the comprehension questions that followed on the computer were just boring and meaningless. I could see that this curriculum was not really about getting students interested, but it was about the same skill and drill with only a new face. After watching herself on video assist students with comprehension questions, Carmen also noted later in her journal entry that, "I didn't feel like it was really teaching at all, but I was just going through the motions. Watching myself on video made me see that we have to be careful of what we call traditional curriculum and what we call contemporary curriculum. Sure, the subjects students read about in Read 180 might be contemporary, but the curriculum is very much like the traditional curriculum in English." After completing her experience at Parker Middle School, Carmen participated in an interview with three of her peers. One of the topics pursued in the interview was students' use of VRPs during their student teaching experience. "When I broached the subject of how VRPs specifically assisted students in recognize what curricular models were drawn upon in their student teaching sites, Carmen again referenced her work in the Read 180 classroom and said, Read 180 was eye-opening to me. Before I was in that classroom and before I did my videotaping, I didn't realize that the Read 180 curriculum is actually really traditional. I mean, it's very focused on basic comprehension of texts, even though the texts the students read about are people and things that would supposedly interest them." Carmen's comments directly reference the tension between traditions that Bickmore et al. Discuss as structuring English language arts curriculum. While she recognizes that Read 180 is contemporary in the way it includes contemporary references, Carmen also asserts that the methods by which this curriculum teaches students fits more into a curricular model that resonates with the mastery of skills. As a follow-up to Carmen's assertions about contemporary and traditional ELA curriculum, I questioned her about this realization related to her use of VRPs. "You were required to videotape lessons you taught in your Read 180 class. Do you think that doing this assisted you in naming curriculum or curricular models in the way you just did?" "Yes, the video made me see how disjointed this curriculum was. Like, I probably would have just thought it was great that a program was contemporary and tried to draw on students' interests. But when I watched the video, it made me see that even though the subjects studied were contemporary, the way the curriculum was built was not. I saw how, in my opinion, the content was being taught in a wrong way. Well, in a way that was not very meaningful." Carmen Kelly's experience using VRPs allowed for her articulation of curricular models in action in the classroom. VRPs helped make visible the disjointedness that existed within her perceptions of the English language arts curriculum, as well as called her attention to thinking through the labels she placed on models of curriculum present in her school site. Hua Zhang, using video records of practice to problematize the notion of student-centered and teacher-centered curriculum. Hua Zhang, a student in her mid-20s, was selected as a case for investigation because of her position as a non-traditional student at Green State University. Hua began her college career at Green State in the early 2000s and had not yet finished her bachelor's degree by the time of the beginning of her professional year. With permission, Green State allowed some students, like Hua, to proceed with their professional year, even though some of their undergraduate credits were not yet completed. Hua, with permission from the administration from the School of Education, began her professional year at the same time as she completed her final 3 credits of undergraduate coursework. Like many of the students enrolled in the teacher preparation program at Green State, Hua, a married Hmong student who lived with her extended family, husband, and 2 young children, had taken semesters off from pursuing her degree in the year she was enrolled as a student. Hua had a dual interest in teaching English and teaching English as a second language, and had been accumulating coursework while enrolled at Green State that would lead her to certification in both these areas. An endorsement in teaching English as a second language, Hua believed, would allow her to pursue future teaching experiences in middle secondary English language arts classrooms with significant English as a second language student populations. As of June 2009, Hua was still searching for a full-time position in the Marshall City metropolitan area and intended to find a position before the beginning of fall 2009 semester. Hua was placed in an 8th grade language arts class at a suburban middle school during her first student teaching experience of her professional year. During this experience, Hua worked with several advanced English classes, and in her journal entries, Hua characterized the students enrolled in these classes as high achievers. Her first written reflection during this semester of student teaching, composed after viewing a videotape session of her teaching, prompted her to elaborate on the type of student achievement she was witnessing in the classes she was teaching. The following excerpt from her journal entry characterizes Hua's view of student-centered curriculum. When watching the videotape of my teaching this class, Advanced English, I saw that when the students were in groups, they were excited about talking. I started to believe that student-centered curriculum could work in my classroom because the students were all on task, talking about the lesson. Since I can't hear all the small groups talk, I was pleased to see that they were really discussing the book we had read, not their weekend or something outside of school. But now I'm thinking that this lesson worked well because they were all highly motivated students. Hua's viewing of her videotaped lesson in the advanced English class made visible aspects of the classroom environment that were previously invisible. Namely, her videotaped lesson affirmed her belief that student-centered curriculum would work in her classroom. Though Hua does not attribute the success of student-centered curriculum to the broader context of her school's environment, she does believe that this type of curriculum was successful because she was teaching within the context of highly motivated students. In the second videotaped lesson of her advanced English class, a lesson she taught at her student teaching site approximately 2 weeks after the first videotaped lesson, Hua expanded on her prior discussion of student-centered curriculum by noting that, "Overall, I saw in the videotape that the lesson went well, and though a lot of it was focused on sharing in small groups and partners, there were some classroom management problems, such as students talking while others were sharing. It was like we were still doing student-centered learning, but then when I wanted them to switch back to a more teacher-centered classroom and tell me what they had learned from the lesson, they didn't want to do that. I guess I need to change my lessons so that I can have more management of my classroom and maybe more structure, although the students still like to discuss their ideas with each other. I need to have them tell me what they've learned so I know they're building their skills." Though Hua's characterizations of the issues she's facing in her class sessions are instructional and management issues, she also is relying on an understanding of curricular models in English language arts education to make sense of what is happening in her classroom. For example, when discussing student-centered curriculum, Hua draws on a number of assumptions about the teaching of English and articulates a vision of the English classroom that asks students to respond to curriculum in various ways, despite the tensions inherent within these multiple paradigms. Specifically, Hua wishes to employ a model of curriculum that focuses on students' iteration of facts while simultaneously adhering to a model of curriculum where students can apply their personal experience to their learning, thereby using their experiences as springboards for school-based inquiry. Prior to interviewing Hua, I noticed that this tension ran throughout several of her journal entries throughout her first semester of student teaching. I was able to respond to this tension in the interview with her by asking whether she desired to create lessons that were both focused on skills and focused on eliciting students' experiences. Hua responded to my question by saying, "Yes, I found that my students could be on task for a while talking about their experiences, but then I usually needed to bring them back to me and get them to really tell me what those experiences meant." I then wanted to know how Hua thought about the methods of doing this. I asked her if she had an example from one of her videotape lessons. Hua said, "I taught a group of students who were in advanced English, and they could usually be on task without me having to do much. I mean, I would just make sure they were on task. Once they were off task, though, I'd have to bring some structure back to the class and have them really tell me what the point of their experiences was. They usually got pretty quiet, and they knew what I expected something different of them when we were back in the large group." After hearing this response, I asked Hua whether she found this transition to be smooth. I anticipated that Hua would say yes, but instead she responded by saying, "It was always awkward because I felt like once I brought them back to structure, they were no longer engaged. I never knew how to get them to have the same energy they had while they were talking in small groups." During the interview, Hua was attempting to articulate a movement between two curricular models, a model in which students were freely conversing and drawing on their experiences, and a model where students were focused on teacher evaluation. Hua clearly wanted her students to stay engaged with the curriculum, yet didn't validate the work they were doing in small groups as meeting this goal. During our interview, another pre-service English language arts teacher involved in the study prompted Hua to re-examine her teaching by looking closely at her videotape lessons. This beginning teacher claimed that it may be possible that Hua's students were already doing the work that Hua expected of them while they were in small groups, and Hua might want to look again at her videotape lessons to find evidence of this. Hua responded a bit skeptically but thoughtfully. She said, like my students telling me about their experiences might be more me wanting control about their learning. Hua took her peer's advice in the sense that her peer helped her reconsider what was occurring in her classroom. Rather than assuming that students were off task when the classroom was organized in small group format, a fellow pre-service teacher challenged Hua by encouraging her to review her videotaped lesson, looking for evidence of whether her claims had merit. Hua's final consideration pushes her to reflect on her role in the classroom and how this is implicated in the way she views her teaching and her students' learning. It is significant that a fellow pre-service teacher is the one who points Hua to the use of VRPs as sources of information about curriculum. Rather than rely on me, the instructor, for ways to address thinking about curriculum, Hua shows interest in how her peer prompts her to use VRPs as sources of information to think through the choices she makes in the classroom. Daniel Martin, using video records of practice to view the tension between traditions in the teaching of English language arts as a productive site for decision-making about curriculum. Daniel Martin, a student in his early 20s, was also a native of the state in which Green State University was located. Unlike Carmen, though, Daniel traced his family's roots specifically to the state and felt committed to residing in the state throughout the duration of his future teaching career. Daniel also frequently stated that he understood the unique needs of the rural population who lived in the state and felt just as committed to serving this group of students as he did the students residing in suburban districts. As of June 2009, Daniel had accepted a position teaching high school English at a rural high school on the outskirts of the Marshall City metropolitan area. Daniel's orientation toward teaching diverse groups of students led him to be open to a variety of experiences within his student teaching experiences. Stating that he understood where a variety of students were coming from, he student taught during his first semester of student teaching at a high school in a district that was often noted as one of the less affluent suburbs of the Marshall City metropolitan area. Daniel's goal, stated in one of his journal entries, was to get all kids to enjoy English and show them that you don't have to love the classics to excel in English class. The orientation toward teaching that Daniel possessed assisted him in continuously questioning which paradigms guiding the teaching of English were best for his students. Being very open to students' diverse sets of life experiences, Daniel was frequently willing to incorporate non-traditional texts, song lyrics, for example, into his curriculum. Of the three individuals featured in this article, Daniel is the teacher who is most able to view how his video records of practice display multiple curricular models of teaching English language arts. His written reflections accompanying his VRPs focused specifically on the teaching of poetry and documented how the process of watching his video records of practice assisted him in viewing the tension between traditions as a productive site of knowledge-making about curriculum. Daniel's VRP reflections largely exhibited recognition that the teaching of English is filled with multiple perspectives, including the way we teach our subject of English. In the following journal entry, written as a response to viewing his VRP, focusing on the poetry of Emily Dickinson, Daniel elaborates on this point. On my video, I saw how it was good for my students to learn about slant rhyme because it appears in music they listen to every single day. Many of the students are very into music, and when I explained some of the examples as related to song lyrics, students became much more interested in the concept. I think it helped that we learn about facts as in Dickinson's poems and her life. But at the same time, I got students to relate the curriculum to their lives. I think you need both things in the teaching of English. You need both facts and you need activities based in your own life experiences. Rather than viewing the two approaches to teaching English as antithetical, Daniel viewed multiple paradigms or curricular models as essential to the teaching of English language arts. In reading through his journal entries, one senses that Daniel feels as though he can fluidly move back and forth between different curricular models while teaching the subject of English language arts. In an interview with Daniel, I asked about this. When I read your journal entries, I sensed that you try to vary your curriculum. Sometimes you use song lyrics with the students, but other times you drew on lessons based on historical facts and information. Is this a purposeful choice? Yes, I think so. I am not much into letting students totally do their own thing in English class. I think they need to know some history, like who an author is, what a classic novel means. You have to understand that stuff because you will be expected to know it. When they are in college? Yes, in college, but also more generally. I mean, you have to have some kind of knowledge that's like what others have in order to get along in the world. In the above examples, Daniel interprets the tension between traditions as a rather productive concept, urging his students to simultaneously negotiate their own meanings through the curriculum while drawing on a common background to make sense of the curriculum. In his journals, Daniel never expressed a disjointedness between disparate curricular models guiding the teaching of English language arts. Rather, he viewed these differences as potentially productive. Further, he later told me that it was his use of VRPs that assisted him in noticing that different curricular models can work alongside of each other in the classroom. My video showed me that I didn't have to only have students do one thing in class. They wanted to do some factual stuff, some exploratory stuff, some small group work, some large group work. They worked better when I tried different types of things. I know that sometimes traditional English curriculum gets a bad name, but my students appeared to learn what we discussed, the history of the 1920s and the Great Gatsby. They were totally into that. Daniel's continual assertion about the fluidity between curricular models perhaps points to a need for English language arts educators to rethink the tension between traditions. Though Daniel recognizes that students are doing different types of work with working within these differing paradigms, he nonetheless confirms his work as productive in nature. Through the presentation of three cases of pre-service English teachers' use of VRPs as a method to understand curriculum in English language arts, this article emphasizes that video records of practice are not neutral documentations of one's teaching, but rather sites for investigating nuanced matters of curriculum within disciplinary fields. Implications for future teaching and research include the ongoing analysis of VRPs with pre-service teacher candidates and continued discussions with pre-service teachers about how models of curriculum shape their respective fields of study. In addition to featuring the themes within each of the three cases presented, sub-findings of the study provided useful consideration for teacher educators and beginning teachers. First, the study illustrated that instead of discrete boundaries between curricular models, pre-service English language arts teachers witness how curricular models interacted in the classroom. Daniel Martin was quick to reflect on the idea that it is a rare occurrence when a teacher of English language arts only draws on one curricular model in his or her teaching. Instead, because each curricular model is steeped in history, it is common for disparate models to work alongside of each other in the classroom. Second, pre-service English language arts teachers witnessed how their use of video records of practice assisted in disrupting their sense of how the teaching of English ought to be. One of the unique capabilities of video records of practice is their ability to provide continuous feedback for beginning teachers. No other technology offers an ability for teachers to re-see their teaching, thus considering new possibilities for how they interpret the events that occur within their classroom. This re-seeing can be a powerful tool in urging pre-service teachers to find value in the act of teacher reflection. Third, in this study, pre-service English language arts teachers often initially characterized difficult issues they faced in their teaching as classroom management issues. Upon reflection, these issues were recast as issues related to curricular choices. Hua's case provides a prime example of this idea. For it was not until she was urged to review the students' small group work occurring in her classroom on video that she could consider the time the students spent in these groups as productive and meaningful. Before pre-service English language arts teachers discussed their use of VRPs in small group interviews, many students had a tendency to conflate issues of curriculum, management, and student learning in their written reflections. For example, in Hua's journal entry, Hua notes that she needs to change her lessons in order to have more structure to her classroom. She then claims that this change will lead to better management. After this initial claim, though, Hua was able to rethink her initial characterization of what was occurring in her video records of practice. With one of her peers' input, Hua was able to demonstrate an ability to move toward a more articulate vision of what was occurring in her classroom. These findings resonate with Ball and Cohen's claim that using records of practice in teacher education programs affords pre-service teachers the development of pedagogical approaches. The interruption of these conflations also comes in the form of discussions about VRPs. Though the participants' journal entries grappled with characterizing curriculum in English language arts, it was through sharing perceptions of VRPs with fellow pre-service teachers that beginning English teachers were able to interrogate their initial views of the lessons. For example, with peers' input, pre-service teacher Carmen Kelly more clearly defined what role VRPs took in her thoughts about the READ 180 curriculum. In using VRPs to examine curricular models and teaching, I would add that, in addition to VRPs allowing for a fine-grained analysis of teaching, VRPs also offered beginning teachers the opportunity to continuously reframe their assumptions about their own practice. One very important point concerning the study of pre-service teachers' use of VRPs is that very few teachers elected to digitally record their videos of teaching. Though digital technology is certainly the newest and most malleable form of video technology, circumstances surrounding teachers' use of video technology influence their decision to primarily rely on older forms of technology as methods by which to record their VRPs. In Carmen's case, for example, Parker Middle School did not own digital video cameras and only had VHS recorders available for checkout in the school library. To complete the assignment of producing VRPs during her student teaching experiences, Carmen borrowed her parents' video recorder and turned her VRPs in DVD form. Only two of the 17 participants involved in the larger study attain access to a digital video recorder through their school sites and store their VRPs on programs such as iMovie. The small percentage of beginning teachers in this particular cohort, then, who both attained access to the newest form of digital technology at their field sites and were able to store their VRPs on computer programs such as iMovie or Movie Maker, alerts us to the fact that access to technology remains an issue in teacher education today. Through the presentation of three cases of pre-service teachers' use of VRPs as a method for understanding curriculum and curricular models in the fields of in the field of English language arts education, teacher educators may become more aware of the potential benefits of including video records of practice in pre-service teacher education, specifically as a way to aid beginning teachers in understanding matters of curriculum in action in classrooms. As new technologies continue to shape teacher education in new times, it's equally important that teacher educators respond to how curriculum and curricular models are characterized within their respective disciplinary fields. New technologies can be used as the tools through which to investigate such matters. Though beginning teachers likely draw on distinct models of curriculum when teaching in their own classrooms, the meta-awareness of curricular models that they gain through the process of viewing VRPs is pivotal in their career as teachers. Explaining, rationalizing, and problematizing the curricular choices they make as beginning teachers within their own classrooms becomes highly visible with the use of video records of practice. This article reiterates that the choices that teacher educators make with regard to their methods classes and field experiences have a great impact on the training of beginning teachers. Viewing the benefits that technology offers to beginning teachers beyond technology's mere connection to being new can assist teacher educators in advocating for thoughtful integration of technology into teacher education programs. Viewing the potential benefits of including video records of practice in pre-service teacher education, specifically as a way to assist beginning teachers in understanding matters of curriculum in action in classrooms, resonates with the continued desire that teachers and teacher educators have to continually examine one's teaching practice. As new technologies continue to reshape teacher education in new times, it is imperative that teacher educators respond to how pre-service teachers characterize curriculum in their respective disciplinary fields, and how the use of video records of practice can be one fruitful method for prompting beginning teachers to investigate curriculum in sophisticated ways.